This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2. We're also online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs. And with me in the studio this afternoon from the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, Carol Lindholm and Robin Haggard. Jim Keel is away today.
Robin and I have never done this together.
Really?
And I just may sit back and listen for the whole time because no. I can learn so much from her.
No. I hadn't realized it because I know that Robin has been on the program, but I guess it was with Jim. Okay.
I filled in for you. Now I get to fill in for him.
So this is so nice.
It is.
I'm happy.
Okay. Listeners, if you've got questions about dogs, give us a call. Talk to Robin and Carol, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, and 800-222-WILL.
Oh,
I'm going to say a shout-out to Jason Croft in the Master Control. Okay. I see it. All right. I thought we had a call already. But
I know. I was putting my headphones on already.
So, for you two, what were the highlights, or what was the highlight of the Westminster show?
The Golden getting a group two. That
okay.
made me happy.
All right.
I haven't been able to see it yet. I had Jim, or a friend, was going to tape it for me, and then her tape recorder went out. So now I have to wait for someone else to catch it on the reruns, because they're evidently
there'll be a huge audience out there taping it for you. Well, I set my DVR to tape it. And to tape the Yukonuba specialty.
Yeah.
So it's always taping because it's on like at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
The Yukonuba one is, so.
Well, we disc a lot of the WILL shows because they show them again at late at night.
Yeah.
So I had him do Oliver Twist for me last week because I was sledding. And he did it early on Sunday night. And he got the first hour, and then he realized that he'd made the mistake, and so he did it again at midnight, so I got to see the end of Oliver Twist.
She carries a big stick at home, doesn't she?
I would have killed him.
We've got a call now, a listener on line one waiting to talk with us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi. This happened in another city, but I would like to know how to train my dog so that it doesn't happen with our dog. My husband and I used to go to a coffee shop pretty frequently, and there was a group of dog owners who always had their dogs there at the patio tables. And one day a lady came through on crutches, and one of the dogs was set by her crutches, and they scared her, and she fell, and it could have been a really bad situation. And so I'm wondering how you can train your dog so that it doesn't react that way.
Well, we have in our home companion classes at the Dog Training Club, we train basically with the goal of people passing what's called the Canine Good Citizenship Test, or CGC. And one of the things that they do for the test is get the dogs used to walkers, crutches, loud noises, startling things that happen around the dog so that the dogs learn to look to their owners for guidance in knowing whether it's a real threat or not, and also that the dogs are calm around those sorts of things. So it's more a matter of getting the dog used to those unexpected things. I'm in a class right now for therapy dogs, to train dogs to be therapy dogs, and one of the things we're going to do next week is dress up in costume. So that we're going to come with floppy hats and jangly jewelry and all kinds of things that the dog could possibly meet in going to a nursing home or going to a setting where there's a bunch of kids. You know, all the unexpected things so that the dogs learn that those things aren't going to hurt them and that they can look to their owner for guidance as to whether it's a real threat. So it's more a matter of socializing the dog to those sorts of things, I think.
Mm-hmm. I use the walker Monday night in my class We have a walker and crutches at the building at all times, so all the dogs are exposed to it throughout the course of the class. And nobody reacted badly.
Yeah, it's especially with younger dogs, if you get them used to those sorts of things when they're younger, they sort of take them in stride. Also, the guarding breeds, I think, are more of a problem with those sorts of things because they tend to think of them as a threat to their owner. And so they tend to get more upset about things like that in their environment. Had a puppy last night that's only about 4.5 months old, but you could already see that it was very protective of the child of the family who was about 4. And that's potentially going to be an issue when her friends come over to play. Mm. So we were talking to the owner about things that she could do to keep the dog from being overprotective of the child when her friends come over.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. Other questions about dogs are invited this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Let's take another call now, a listener on line two. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a 3-year-old Beagle Terrier mix, and she was a pound puppy. We adopted her 2 years ago. When we greet new people at the park or wherever, she barks like she's afraid. She wants their attention. She wants them to pet her, but she barks like she's afraid. And if they greet her, she's fine. She stops the barking. How do I get her to stop that?
Does she back up when she's barking?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of what body language she presents other than the barking.
Well, she'll look at me when I tell her no, 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 and she'll come back to me, but she continues to bark.
She's moving forward towards the people then.
Yes.
With her barking.
Yes.
You know, that sounds more like she's being defensively, I don't want to use the word aggressive because that's a little too strong, but she is viewing those strangers as a potential threat, so she's moving in front of you to say, hey, you know, who are you? Okay. Present your credentials. And when you say it's okay, then hopefully she's subsiding. Is that the case? If you say, oh, it's okay,
point,
sweetie, you know, go up and...
She wiggles all over.
What?
When I say it's okay, she wiggles all over. But she still expects that person to pet her.
Well, then that's a dog greeting thing. That's typical of dogs. They want to greet the new person. It's sort of their social thing. I would say probably you're not going to be able to cure this, so to speak. It's going to be a behavior that you just have to learn to deal with in terms of when you see strangers and she starts to bark, tell her it's okay, give her a cookie, get her attention on you. If they're not people that are going to greet her, in other words, you're just passing them on the street or something like that, then probably having a few treats in your pocket or a favorite toy to distract her as you go by is a good way to deal with it. If they're people that she's going to greet, then teach her, you know, it's okay, sit, and then let the people come up and greet her.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
She just might be barking, too, to let her know that there are people coming,
that there's something,
you can't see them or something.
Something's going on that you need to be aware of, right? She's kind of doing that alerting behavior.
Okay, let's take another call. Listener on line one. Hello.
Hi, yeah, this is, my name's Kathy. I'm calling from Champaign. And this actually, I thought of calling you when I heard your first question on the air a few minutes ago. My daughter is going to occupational therapy school, and she's interested in learning how to train service dogs. We can't seem to find a program for that. Where would you recommend looking?
There's not one right here locally, but there are people that do work with groups locally. There's a vet down in Arcola that works with training service dogs, I know.
Huh?
That's right. Canine Companion for Independence, she does.
Yeah, Canine Companions for Independence. You might Google that.
I tried.
Yeah. The ASPCA would probably, they have a local office here, and one of their behavior counselors, Pam Reed, may know of some organizations that you could contact. Okay. Since there's nobody right here locally, what they often do is they'll foster dogs with people. Mm-hmm. So they'll take puppies that they're raising for this purpose, and they'll foster them with people for a year when you take them around and socialize them. And then they go into the formal training. Uh-huh. And probably your daughter would need to start with something like that where she's fostering and then move on into the formal training.
I see. You know, is there, when I did Google it, they reckon there were all kinds of just learning to be a dog trainer program, but they're so varied. Is there one in particular? Is there something that she should look for in just general dog training first?
Well, if she's interested in working with dogs, I would recommend that she train her if you have a dog of your own, that she
We have a cat.
She might want to get, you know, your family might want to get a dog, not uh-huh. just as an experiment.
Right. No,
but as a companion and uh-huh. and training that dog. If she isn't in a position to have a dog of her own right now, she could work with the Humane Society. They love to have people come out.
She's a dog walker there already.
Yeah, and they love people to do that. She might be able to work out, too, with a local breeder or someone who has extra dogs.
Okay.
To take one of their dogs through classes at the university, at the dog training club. Because really, hands-on is the best way to learn with dog behavior and dog training.
That sounds good. Thanks very much for your help.
You're welcome.
And next we take a call on line 4 from a listener waiting for us on line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Joyce. I have a dog that is a family member's dog that lives out on a farm. It's generally a very friendly dog, yes, less than 1 year or so old, a pit bull mix, probably. But it just doesn't understand, and I don't seem to be able to communicate with it, that it can't jump on people. It just wants to jump on everybody constantly. I can push it away with my leg, but it just keeps coming back. I'm not afraid of the dog, and I like it, but it's very annoying.
Well,
what are some simple tricks?
He's looking for attention. Does he live outdoors?
Yes.
And he probably is not around people all day long, so when people visit, it's a big event for him?
Yes, it's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't your dog, I take it.
No, it's my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Really, it takes consistent training with the jumping up. Like with my Malamutes, I had the well man out the other day and let 2 of the dogs out to put him away when he was there. And, of course, they immediately ran and jumped all over him and said hi. And luckily, he was a big guy and it didn't bother him. But dogs are very keyed into who the individual is. Like, they know not to jump on me, but they don't know not to jump on strangers. So I have to control them in that kind of environment. So I can say down and they understand it and they know they're not to jump on me. But when someone else comes over, I have to restrain them, get them in a sit, and then let the people greet them, and then they're fine. And it's that kind of frenzy of greeting that you have to get over. So you need the cooperation of your brother-in-law, son-in-law, whatever, of the owner of the dog to get it under control before you get out of the car, get it in a sit, give it a treat, and then have it be under control while you greet it and have the dog learn consistently to go through that greeting procedure at that person's side. Or
I see.
If it's in a house, you can teach it, and Jim's, I think, suggested this before, where you teach it to go to a place. So when the doorbell rings, the dog knows, I run to my blanket and I get a biscuit. And then you can control the dog while the greeting, you know, while the person's coming into your home.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, you know, but it takes some consistent training and it would take some work with the owner of the dog. You as the visitor are in a hard position to make, you know, to make your needs known. What you could do in defense for yourself is take some biscuits with you. And when you get out of the car and the dog rushes towards you, show it you've got some biscuits and throw the biscuit away from you.
Uh-huh.
In that way. And then when after the dog gets the biscuit, they're going to come back over to you, but they'll be a little calmer. And show them it's got a biscuit. If it knows the word sit, you can tell it to sit and give it a cookie. And that way the dog will learn when you come over, it's going to get a biscuit, but it needs not to be jumping on you.
Okay.
So
I'll try it.
it's a sort of a backwards way of doing things if you can't get the owner to work with you being consistent about having the dog sit or having the dog go to a specific place when people come over.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, good luck.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Robin Haggard and Carol Lindholm are our guests this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. If you've got a question or comment to make this afternoon, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. This is a topic we take up once a month on the first Friday of the month. Jim Keel is away this month. His wife, Robin, is here with us in his place. And Jim and Robin have Malamutes, and Carol has a Golden and a Doodle.
And a Doodle.
And again, the number is 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, I thought the story of the winner, Best in Show, from the Westminster was really fascinating.
Yeah, 10-year-old Sussex Spaniel.
Yeah, it was pretty astonishing.
Comeback pup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very surprising.
The way they told the story, for people that weren't familiar with dog shows, it was like, oh, he must have just woke up like a week ago and decided to enter the dog. He had the dog entered and then decided to show him because he was doing so well, and that's how it happened. It wasn't a last-minute thought to enter the dog. He was already entering the show.
But the dog is an older dog.
Mm-hmm. His son, he beat his son in breed competition, I think.
And a few years ago, apparently, he was very close to being very ill.
Very sick, yeah. I didn't ever hear what it was he had, but he was very sick and was almost died, and they were afraid he was going to die. And now he seems to be a happy and healthy older senior citizen.
What a great story.
It was a great story.
Not too old to win.
But he knocked the Golden out. So I was watching that. And I thought, oh, come on.
Yeah, a friend of mine's Malamute got a Group 3. So that was very nice to see her get that.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones and take another call. A listener on line one. Hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just recently visited my son in Phoenix, and he has a black lab mix that at the time was 10 months old, and she is very, very undisciplined. And he kept saying, she's just a puppy, she's just a puppy. And I couldn't sit anywhere in the living room because the dog would be all over me, and it was really very unpleasant. She also marked the bed I was going to sleep in with a little bit of urine. And I kept telling my son, you need to take her to a training class. And he said, this is in Mesa. He said, oh, they cost like $100. Where could I find something that wouldn't be that costly that he could take her to?
Well, actually, that's not a bad price. And the way I look at it is this way. If we offer a 9-week class, and I think ours are about $90. Mm-hmm. And that's lunch once a week. You know,
yeah, they live on a really limited income.
Did he get her from a shelter? Do you know?
Sort of. They were looking at the shelter, and they walked. They had one dog in mind, and they walked out, and a lady walked up with puppies, and they picked one out.
Because often training facilities, and I know we do, and PetSmart does, will offer a discount if the dog comes from a humane society or a shelter, or a rescue group.
Mm-hmm. They're both the parents are handicapped, and then they have a 9-year-old daughter. Actually, I think his wife would be eligible for a service dog because she's profoundly deaf and legally blind. I'm sure it's too late to, you know, that this dog couldn't be a service dog.
Well, they don't really start training them for a lot of those things until they're at least a year old, so that's not out of the question, depending on the dog's overall temperament. But
she's very friendly.
It sounds like her problem is over-exuberance and friendliness, and she may not be getting the exercise that she needs either, being
they're in an apartment.
Yeah, and with both of them having some handicaps, they're not going to be taking her out to the park and getting her,
Their handicaps are not ambulatory.
Okay. Yeah.
Hers is hearing and sight, and his is hearing.
Yeah. But the dogs, actually, it would be really good if they could get with a program to take their dog to train it to be a hearing dog for them.
Well, do you know where I could find that? There, you know, in the Phoenix area.
I'd probably get on the internet and look at the hearing dog programs that are listed on the internet. There's probably nothing right in the area. What they may need to do is talk to the groups that do that and see if they're willing to take their dog versus getting one. They're expensive, but there's often programs that help people with defer the cost. But if they're both hearing impaired, that would seem to be a good way to go. But just basic obedience.
There's some good books out there.
Well, there's some
helpful.
Good books, but what I was going to suggest is they might go through their local, I don't want to call it 4-H, but we have, what's the program called at the university? Extension. Where they have programs, adult education, like Parkland used to have dog training classes. So they might check into that or if they have got like a free local little paper, they could put an ad in asking for other people who want to get together and just work their dogs as a group and meet at a park.
And often the park districts offer training classes as well.
And those are usually quite reasonable. But just basic obedience, they could get a book and work with that.
Do you have a book to recommend?
There's a couple of trainers that I like a lot, but...
I just read one by Tammy, I think it's Geller, G-E-L-L-A-R, I think that's her name. She's been on Oprah, and I think she worked with Oprah's dogs. And she's got a very... Mm-hmm. A very good book, and it's all positive reinforcement, motivational training. Yeah, thanks, Celeste, for checking that last name. It's just not working for me to think of it.
I like Ian Dunbar myself, but I have a large active breed, and so I'm not just a positive trainer. My Malamutes need a little negative reinforcement occasionally. There's...
There's
a lot of different books, and it really, there's none of them are going to give you terrible advice. I think you could, you know, everybody's got their own favorite method, but most of us who've trained dogs for years have taken a little of this and a little of that. So,
and I think the key too, we mentioned it earlier, was exercise. Yeah. 10-month-old lab mix needs far more exercise than almost anybody
anticipates.
Unbelievable,
yes. Couple of hours a day of running, if they can get it. If they've got somebody with a friendly dog that they can take the dogs to the park and let them play, that would be ideal.
There is a dog park, and we went the first day I was there, but she was scared of the other dogs.
Well, and that's a matter of just taking her out and getting her used to being there, and then maybe she'll find a buddy at the dog park. Also, the dog park people might be good to help her help them find a class. Because they might know of other classes that they could get involved with.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. And I'll let Carol, I looked up on
the
web.
Look at that, how close I was. Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, and Geller, G-E-L-L-E-R. And her website is tamargeller.com.
Okay. A life coach for dogs is how she describes herself. Also, I would say to the caller, the woman who just called in, that I would think that a really good thing would to get that 9-year-old girl involved in the with the dog because she would be a great help. And kids and dogs, I mean, you know, it's like soup and sandwich, right?
Yeah, it's the natural. Although with the dog that's rambunctious, they need to get it under some control first, especially with the. Hopefully, the child's not afraid of the dog. Oftentimes, when people get a small puppy like that and the puppy's too rambunctious, then the child gets afraid, and then you have a lot of problems.
Another dimension to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason, where are we going next? Line 2. Okay. Good afternoon. Line 2. Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I have a 6-month-old schnoodle, and I'm not sure if it's just excitement or submissive, but every time she greets someone new or I come home from work, she just urinates all over the place. And it's like 80% of the time it happens.
Yeah.
But she kind of cowers, so that's why I'm thinking maybe it's submissive, and I don't know if I'm, I mean, I'm kind of a tall guy, and she's a really little dog, but, so, is there a way to break that, or I just need to deal with it?
I think that what you are seeing is submissive urination. So when you come home, and as hard as this is going to be for you to do, you just ignore her.
Yeah, I try to do that, and sometimes she'll still just run underneath me everywhere I go, because she, once we get through that, then, you know, she plays and she's still excited and everything's fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just ignore it.
Yeah, yeah. You can't correct it. Correcting it's the actual worst thing you could do with submissive urination.
She'll just be try to be even more subordinate and pee more.
Right. Yeah, but to prevent the problem as much as possible, are if you're in a position where when you open the door, if you can let her out, and it depends on your physical place, whether you can just let her, instead of you going in the front door, open the front door and let her out so that she can go outside. And then you could ignore her there or even give her a treat outside. But then if she's peeing, at least you don't have the mess to clean up. The other thing would be to put some of those pee pads right by the door or newspaper so that even while you're ignoring her, if she does pee a little bit, it's not going to be a big mess to clean up.
And it's not just me, though. I mean, it's even...
Oh, like, it'd be everybody.
Like, right, right.
Yes, it would be everybody. Yeah, okay. That's not unusual. And she will outgrow it. For the most part, submissive peeing is something that young dogs do, and she will get over it as she gets older and gets more confidence.
Okay.
Taking her to classes, taking her as many places as you can, taking a handful of treats with you, having her greet people with getting a treat, and everything's very positive and very confidence building will help too. But I'm thinking in terms of the having to deal with the mess. If you have a way to get around that part, then it makes it easier to ignore it without going, oh my gosh, that's my favorite rug and I have to wash it again, you know.
Yeah, the mess is 15 minutes. I'm more worried about the habit.
Yeah, and it's not, you say habit, and but it will subside with time. But classes, building her confidence by socializing her as much as possible in a positive way, that will help.
So socialization is the best confidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
I had a golden in class this session that would, it wasn't submissive urination, it was excitement. So we all just learned to, you know, she's here, we love her, we just didn't fuss over her, and then she was fine.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. We, since I teach puppy classes, it's not an infrequent issue we deal with in puppy class where they're from excitement for the most part, but sometimes from submission. They will, and you just have to learn to ignore it and go on.
Let's take another call. A listener in Piatt County on line 4. Hello.
Hello. I'd like to know how old can dogs have puppies and how long is the gestation period?
How old the dog should be before they have puppies?
No, how old can they have?
Still have puppies? Yeah. Most breeders stop breeding a female around 8 years old. It depends a lot on the breed, but with Malamutes, we stop around 8 years old. And some of the large breeds, like Danes and so forth, don't live as long. They stop earlier because the dogs are really becoming seniors at eight. The gestation period is 7 weeks, I would not recommend breeding a female for the first time when she's over 4 or 5 years old, because then you run into lots of potential problems. It's like a woman of 50 having a first-time baby. You can run into health defects in the puppies, and you can run into problems with her whelping, problems with her having milk, problems with her being an appropriate mother. So, I normally with most breeds, once their health checks are done, and that's usually 2 years old. For most breeds with hip dysplasia, you have to do hips over 2 years old. And all the other physical health checks you do before you're breeding, they're usually about two before you breed them for the first time. And as I say, usually we stop breeding by the time they're seven or eight.
Okay. I'll say thank you to the call and caller, and let's go on to another listener in Savoy, line one. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering to ask the guest,
have you ever heard of
a knowledge bone?
Oh, the on the top of the head?
Yeah, I am assuming that's where it would be. I heard the term, and I have not been able to find it.
It's the bump at the back of the skull.
Occiput. Mm-hmm. Occiput. That's what it's called.
What's it called?
Occiput.
Occiput.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't find any reference to even like on Google, but
yeah.
No.
But my dog has a very pronounced ridge on his head and going back, and it's I just wondered if that obviously that must be it, but I mean, is that kind of an old wives' tale that that's an intelligence type of a trait?
I think it's a term of endearment for those bumps on their head. That's what I think it is. It does nothing to affect their intelligence. It's just cute.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I should correct something. I said 7 weeks. It's 9 weeks. It's 63 days is the gestation period. I'm sorry. I got all confused.
It happens when you're live.
Yes.
You know who I wish would call? I want the boy to call whose sister shaved his dog last month. I want to hear what happened.
What's the latest?
Yes. So if you're listening, call me.
Give us a call and tell us how things are going.
Not only me, but there's a lot of people out there that want to know, too.
Okay, let's take another call. Line three, listener in Champaign. Hi.
Hi there. I have a question about an old dog. My dog is pretty old. She's 17 years old, and she has trouble getting around. She doesn't walk that well. Her back legs don't move very well, and now her front legs are doing that too, and I can't tell if she's in pain. Can you give me some hints to find out if she's hurting or not? I mean, she doesn't look happy, but sometimes she still has the puppy in her, and she'll try and chase the cats and stuff, so I just don't know if she's in pain or not.
Is she on any medication at all?
No, she's not. We've tried some things, but that didn't seem to help her movement at all, so we didn't.
Did you try, like, Rimadyl or Etagesic, those?
Right, that's
sometimes, Robin, don't they get their eyes very dilated if they're in a lot of pain? Pupils dilate.
Usually you'll be able to tell by they'll get very stiff and hunched up in their back. Mm-hmm. They'll get a lot of curvature to their spine, and they'll kind of get hunched up. They'll go off their food.
Uh-huh.
You know, they just won't have a very happy expression on their face. They kind of have an inward look to them.
Yeah.
One thing, I've got a 15-year-old dog now and a 12-and-a-half-year-old dog, and I've got them both on chondroitin glucosamine, and that has helped both of them. It's not something you see immediately, but within, you know, a week or two, you see them feeling just... Mm-hmm. Loosening helps their joints a little bit. Also, they both get chiropractic treatments once a month, veterinary chiropractic, and that really helps them a lot, especially my 15-year-old. You can just see her really relax and feel much more comfortable after she's had a treatment.
I did that with Hulky for 2 years every Monday, and he could jump into the vehicle afterward.
Yeah. It does give them a longer lease on life. If she's not having incontinence problems or things like that, then probably she's not in a lot of pain, just, you know, like a person with arthritis. You know, some days it takes you longer to get up and get going.
Is she a large dog or a small dog?
She's a medium. She's a 40-pound lab mix.
That's really remarkable testament to the care you've given her all these years.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Yeah,
17
she's
is
really
a nice
funny.
Age, yes.
Yeah.
My 15-year-old can't hear anymore.
Yeah, she doesn't hear you.
So I'm out there last night calling. thinking, this is really stupid. It's dark out. And,
we know
her.
They can't hear, but you still do it because it's habit.
And then I could see her across the yard, and I'm clapping my hands. Come on, Annabelle.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, you guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Other questions about dogs are invited. We've got about 10 minutes in this portion of the program. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. No one waiting at the moment. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Carol Lindholm and Robin Haggard are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
There's a couple of legislative things that I thought I'd mention if we had time.
Oh, good.
There's a bill right now in Illinois where they're trying to license breeders, although the way they're doing it, they would be able to do background checks on breeders and fingerprinting, and it's like a criminal background check to breed your dog. So the law is very restrictive. It's, I think the point that they're trying to get with the law is to get rid of puppy mills, but this isn't the route to go. We're hoping to have a meeting at our dog training club with Naomi Jacobson on the 16th of March. So if people are interested in this bill and in its ramifications for those of us either breeding dogs or people who want to buy a purebred dog from a breeder, then they're welcome to contact the dog training club, and we can tell them what time. We're not sure of the time yet. The other bill is a crop and dock bill where they're talking about outlawing the ability to for the vets to crop ears or dock tails. This is a surgical procedure, and some breeds with the American Kennel Club require it for being shown. Well, they don't actually require it in most breeds anymore, that it's the recommended thing. Because in Europe, they don't crop and they don't dock. If they get an import, they still need to be able to show it here. So, but that if that bill passes, then dog sports, AKC dog sports, would be outlawed in Illinois because the AKC rule says that if it's illegal in the state to crop and dock, then they can't show cropped and docked dogs at the shows. So this bill has a very wide ramification, and we're hoping to talk about that bill as well. Mike Frericks is on the committee, or is the committee chairman for that bill. So we're hoping to try to get him to come and talk about that bill as well, because it has not just ramifications as far as the dogs themselves are concerned, but in terms of the whole of dog sports.
And financial ramifications in the state would be tremendous.
Yes, for what the money that dog shows bring in the state are, you know, a
well,
huge
amount. The International Kennel Club show, which was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Would they have 5,000 dogs there?
I don't know what the number is. Usually it's between 3,000 and 4,000.
Yeah, a huge number of dogs, and it's a 4 or 5 day show, and yeah, it brings in a lot of money to the city and to the state. So
our local kennel club is having our show in April at the Farm Progress Center. We're having 4 days of shows. Think of the, you know, 4 days of lodging for those people, 4 days of restaurants. The entries will be somewhere between 800 and 1,200 dogs. And, you know, that's a lot of revenue to Decatur, which is not that, you know, prosperous.
I got my premium list last night, as a matter of fact.
So, you know, there's just a lot of financial ramifications if it curtails the
sport.
Some
of these bills have little snarky things built in there that, unless in concept it sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you start to read the little individual components that make up this bill, and it's like, oh my God.
The unintended consequences become huge, and people don't realize that.
Let's take a call from a listener in Champaign now on line one. Hi.
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 I have another old dog question. I have a St. Bernard who is 12 years old. And, you know, she's slowed down, of course, and I have her on Duramax and glucosamine, and that seems to help a lot. I'm just wondering if she's getting a little senile because she, you know, she'll be in the other room, and she'll just bark and bark and bark and bark and bark. And she has this real hoarse, she can't bark very well anymore either. She's kind of got an old lady kind of voice now. You know, she doesn't want to go outside. She doesn't want anything more to eat. She just, I don't know what she wants.
They do.
Yeah, they do get a little
dementia.
Yeah, and there's drugs now that some of the vets have been giving, and I don't know how good they are. I think reassurance is the best thing you can do is try to, you know, get her close to you, pet her, you know, tell her it's okay. A lot of times it's they may be in the other room and they don't know you're around and they suddenly get that little panic, anxiety attack almost thing going. And so reassurance is probably the best thing you can do for her.
Well, I wondered if you know, responding to her was rewarding her for that behavior.
No.
And they do get, I always say my old dogs too, they think that they deserve it because they're old. You know, they have that kind of attitude, like, I can do this now because I'm old.
Well, and maybe
you know?
They do, right?
Yeah.
So. You know, sometimes I think that depending on the amount of vision she has or the amount of hearing she has, the barking is sometimes just a response to that. Tracy did that at the end. She would just bark for no reason, and I would always go in to find her and reassure her that I was there, and that seemed to work.
Yeah.
Her vision is good, but her hearing, her hearing is shot.
Yeah,
so.
And sometimes they might see things and they're not sure what it is, too, like a quick movement
right.
or something,
right.
and they get insecure, and so they bark just to say, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Yeah, best of luck. And 12 is a nice age for a saint. That's really good.
Yeah, and she's doing pretty well.
That's really good.
Okay, thanks so much.
I'm going to get some glucosamine and chondroitin on the way home.
I take it all the time.
Do too?
If they mention anything for arthritis, I take it.
Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana on line 2. Good afternoon.
Is this me? I guess so.
Yeah.
I just want to make a comment on what you said on the Cropland Dock bill. My feeling is you can't really put a price on cruelty, and I think if you can change the bill so that it would fit, that might be okay. But I don't think you want to drop the idea of maybe outlawing it. I think that you should work for some sort of uniform laws throughout the country that will allow the shows maybe to go on, but to still be able to have some effect on that particular issue. Just at my comment.
Yeah, I don't have a breed that needs to be cropped and docked, and not one of the reasons I picked Malamutes, but I would not have a breed that had to be cropped and docked. It's not because I feel necessarily it's cruel, because the dogs are under anesthetic and they take every effort to make sure that it's as painless as possible. But I like a natural breed. In Europe, they're moving towards having all of the breeds, and it's illegal in England to crop or dock, and in most of the continent now it's becoming illegal. I think in this country they're going to move more and more towards that, but to force people into those decisions with a law like that, I think is really the wrong way to go. I think there's other methods that can be used to convince people that the natural look is fine, and as I say, most of the breed standards, I think, that required it in the past have been altered now to say that it's recommended, or that they can be either way. They can have natural ears or they can have cropped ears.
You see a lot of Danes now with natural ears.
Yeah. And if they import them, they're not cropped or docked, because they have to be done at a certain age.
That's usually pretty young, isn't it?
Very young. Tails are very young.
Yeah, tails are done at only a few days. And that's done often in conjunction with removing dew claws, which I've never removed dew claws on my puppies either, but a lot of people routinely have the dew claws removed from their puppies when they're a day or two old. And they don't feel that that's cruel or painful to the puppy, but I've just never done it. But ear cropping, they usually do around 8 to 9, 10 weeks. If you wait too long, then it's
a lot of maintenance involved with that as well.
Is the sticking point here the AKC?
Well, their rule could be altered in the at some point to say that dogs, you know, they can still have AKC events in states where it's illegal, but. It would at least cause a big problem initially until things got sorted out. And I just don't, I don't think laws like that are really useful. I mean, let's, you know, there's laws that are...
You kind of have to look back, and, and I'm not going to mention any names, but see who is behind these bills.
Yeah.
What, there's organizations within the country that are sponsoring these bills throughout the country. Illinois is not alone.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to buy a Malamute and I wanted to go to Jim and Robin, which I would, of course... And then they're working under very strict sanctions. They limit the amount of dogs you can have. And that's fine when you're dealing with the puppy mills that we have. But concentrate on those puppy mill issues, not the good people out there that are providing us with excellent dogs. That's how I feel about it.
Here we've got to wrap it up. Anything you want to mention in terms of the dog training
class?
Oh, yes.
Classes start first week in April, I believe. I just finished mine up. So
I have two
signups.
Now
is
the time to sign up. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we'll leave our conversation about dogs for the month of March. We'll see you in April. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, thank
All
you.
Right. Robin Haggard and Carol Lindholm, they are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. And we talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine once a month on the first Friday of the month.